This is Science in the News in VOA Special English. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. Today, we will tell about a report that people around the world are getting fatter. We will tell about the newly reopened Computer History Museum in California's Silicon Valley. And we will tell about a businessman who developed a best-selling product that brought living insects into millions of homes.
This month, a study of 199 countries and territories confirmed what many people may have already suspected. People around the world are getting fatter. The study found that obesity has almost doubled since 1980. Majid Azati at Imperial College London led the research team. He says the results show that obesity, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol are no longer just found in wealthy nations. These are now worldwide problems. The Lancet published the findings. The study found that almost 10% of men were obese in 2008. That was up from about 5% in 1980. That same year, almost 8% of women were obese. By 2008, the rate of obesity among women was almost 14%.
Body Mass Index, or BMI, is a measure of a person's weight in relation to height. A person with a BMI of 25 to 29 is considered overweight. The World Health Organization defines obesity as a body mass index of 30 or more. Pacific Island nations have an average BMI of around 35, the highest in the world. The study found that the United States had the single highest average among wealthy countries. American men and women had an average BMI of over 28. New Zealand was next. Japan had the lowest, at about 22 for women and 24 for men. The report had some good news, however, about high blood pressure. The percentage of people with this major cause of heart attack and strokes has fallen since 1980. Dr. Azati credits improved testing and treatment in wealthy countries. He says a decrease in the use of salt and unhealthful fats probably also helped.
Silicon Valley in Northern California is home to many of the world's largest technology companies. These include Apple, Google, Oracle, Intel, Cisco Systems, and Hewlett-Packard. The valley is also home to the Computer History Museum in Mountain View. It reopened late last year after $19 million worth of improvements. The project took nearly 2 years. One of the additions is a permanent exhibit called Revolution, the First 2,000 Years of Computing. Alex Bohonic is a curator at the museum. He says the new exhibit tells the story of more than 1,000 historical objects. He says one of the more popular items is a portable computer from 1981.
We think of portable computers today as laptops, but the Osborne 1 was about the size of a sewing machine and weighed 24 pounds. So just being able to pick one of those up will help our visitors understand how difficult portability was about 30 years ago.
Visitors to the Computer History Museum can also see parts of one of the earliest large-scale electronic computing devices, the ENIAC, or Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer, was designed during World War II. There are also pieces from the Guidance Computer that was used during the American Space Agency's Apollo missions. Mr. Bohanek says the Revolution exhibit is about more than the history of modern computing. He says it tells a much larger story about how these developments have affected society and culture, especially in recent years. The Computer History Museum plans to launch an online version of the exhibit on its website next month.
Who would have thought that millions of people would buy a product containing living insects? A creative businessman named Milton Levine did, and he thought correctly. He and his brother-in-law, E.J. Kosman, created the Uncle Milton Ant Farm more than a half century ago. Today, grandchildren of the first ant colony owners are watching ants working hard on the farm. Mr. Levine died recently at age 97. During his life, he saw the sale of more than 20 million of his ant colonies. He was part inventor, part businessman, and part educator.
Milton Levine was not trained in the study of insects, also known as entomology, but he knew a lot about ants, and he designed an appealing way to share his knowledge. He respected the creatures. He sometimes said he had never stepped on an ant. Mr. Levine's son, Stephen, says his father began his career as a maker of unusual toys after World War II. He had returned to his birthplace in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after serving in the United States military. During the war, he built bridges in Germany for the invading Allied troops of General George S. Patton.
Stephen Levine says his father got the idea for his future career from a business newsletter. The newsletter suggested that the best chances for jobs at the time were in bobby pins and toys. Milton Levine did not want to make bobby pins, the small fasteners for women's hair. He and Mr. Kosman decided instead to make toys. They understood that American society was about to change. The huge population increase, known as the baby boom, was beginning. There would be a huge demand for children's playthings.
The two businessmen moved their company to Hollywood, California, in 1952. At that time, Milton Levine got the idea for an educational toy that would earn him lasting fame. He saw ants parading around a swimming pool while he was at an Independence Day celebration. The sight made Mr. Levine remember how much he had liked watching and collecting ants as a boy on his uncle's farm. Those thoughts gave him the idea for the Uncle Milton Ant Farm.
Milton Levine and E.J. Kosman developed a narrow green plastic container. The top looked like a farm, showing a farmhouse, a barn, a bridge, and a windmill. Under those images was a divider that separated the ants' underground and above-ground areas. Under that was the sand where people could watch the ants digging passageways. There was a problem before the product could be sold, however. Where would the company get enough ants? the company placed a newspaper advertisement asking for what they called ant pickers. The pickers recovered a fine supply of ants from the desert.
The businessmen sold the first finished Uncle Milton ant farms through the mail. Buyers also received their ants by mail. But the ants arrived separately from the farm. The insects arrived in a vial, as they do today. A stopper device on the tube-like container held food for the ants as they traveled to their new homes. Later, ground volcanic material replaced the sand, and stores also sold the ant farms. Mr. Kossman and Mr. Levine placed newspaper ads urging people to watch the ants dig tunnels and build bridges. People paid $1.98 for the first products.
The first Uncle Milton ant farms were an immediate success. They were sold in 1956. 2 years later, 2 million of the educational toys had sold. Through the years, the toys continued to attract ant watchers. When his father retired, Stephen Levine became the company's head in the 1980s. Last year, the company was sold to private investors. But people continue to buy Uncle Milton ant farms from stores and websites.
Materials included with the products tell far more than how to care for the ants. For example, people receiving an Uncle Milton ant farm learn that the little insects are strong. Some can carry loads 50 times heavier than they are. A writer in his 30s remembers owning an Uncle Milton ant farm when he was about 5 years old. He says he became very good in numbers by counting the ants.
This Science in the News was written by Geralyn Watson, Katie Weaver, and June Sims, who also was our producer. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. Join us again next week for more news about science in special English on the Voice of America.